Praise the Lord. This is Brother Julius Adewumi here of the Gospel Distribution Ministry. Today, I pray that the Lord will give you insight in this exhortation that you want me to give. I want to talk about the hope of glory that God has promised, that has brought for us. Christ in us is the hope of our glory. Let's read that from the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 27. Christ in us is the hope of our glory. And it will open our understanding to see what the Lord meant when he said that I in them, thou in me. I in them, thou in me. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, this is going to be a teaching. And I pray that the Lord will give you open up that you can open your Bible along with me. And what are we trying to draw out of this exhortation? We try to make it to see that it is Jesus Christ in us that is going to give us this immortality, because he only has immortality dwelling in a light which no man can approach unto. The plan of God to bring us to that fullness of the stature of Christ from the ages is being revealed to us at this end time. And the Bible said it in many words, and I'm going to point to those Bible verses so that you can be well established and grounded in the Word of God, that it is Jesus Christ in us that is going to give us this immortality and the fullness that we are talking about. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27. Here, Apostle Paul was talking, said, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Talking about the mystery that Apostle Paul has been revealing in his letters. Let me start from verse 25. Apostle Paul writing, said, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. So what Apostle Paul is saying is that the revelation God is giving to us through him about who Christ is, why Christ has to come, because when he was preaching to the Gentiles, he has to explain to we Gentiles what is all this thing about. Maybe the Jews even knew a little bit that were in Jerusalem before, but yet they didn't understand it. But God kept his secret, just saying a little here, a little there, through Moses in codes, through the prophets, in some mystery that even the prophets that wrote about it did not understand it. I can tell you that. When Isaiah wrote the book of Isaiah chapter 53, where he said, unto us a son is given, unto us a child, the chapter 9. And when he was saying in chapter 53 that he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, he could be seeing a vision and writing it down. But what did it mean? How will God implement this? What is this all about? He himself may not know what he was writing, but God was speaking through his mouth, and he wrote it down. And people, Bible scholars, Jewish rabbis, they were reading these things over the centuries, and they were giving their own interpretation to it, the way they thought it may be. But they got some inkling that there will be a Messiah. But who is this Messiah going to be? What is he going to be all about? They thought it was all about Israel, the nation of Israel. But yeah, in a way they were right, but that was not all. But Apostle Paul now was telling us, after Christ converted Apostle Paul, remember how he was converted? He was one of the fanatical Jewish people, Pharisee, that was persecuting the Christians, thinking that these Christians were all wrong. But when Jesus Christ knocked him down on the road to Damascus, he said he went to Arabia to really study this thing, to find out more, why in the world was this thing about? And God gave him some revelation. And this is the revelation he was describing, but now he has to be describing to the Gentiles, because the Jews didn't want to listen to it. They wanted to kill him. No, so. But God was sending Apostle Paul to the Gentiles. So this is what he was talking about, where he said, whereof, in verse chapter, Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 is what I'm reading. Apostle Paul is saying, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. That is for we Gentiles, for the church. To fulfill the word of God, even the mystery. This is the mystery I'm trying to describe. What is this thing all about? Is the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations. but now is made manifest to his saints. What is this mystery? To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is this mystery? And he said, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is going to be living inside us. And that is the hope that we are going to have to get into that glory of God. It's Christ in us. He's going to bring us to that glory of God. Remember, the Bible said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's all human beings from Adam. Now, this glory of God, God wanted to bring it back. And yeah, it was a mystery. How is he going to bring it back when the devil seems to be ruling over the world? And this is the mystery Apostle Paul is saying, that God knocked Apostle Paul down and showed him these things, and now sent him to go and preach to the Gentiles and explain it to them. To the Jews, of course, it was explained to the Jews. Some of them didn't accept it. Some of them, it was baffling them because they were thinking it was the nation of Israel. But in the end, we know it was God has a plan not just for a nation of Israel, but for the whole world. Because he was preaching, prophesying to Abraham. He said, through you, the whole world shall be blessed. God is going to bless the whole world through Abraham, which is through the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But see, the people in the days of Jesus Christ couldn't understand that. So they persecuted the church during that time. But the people that were even in the church, in the first church age, they also couldn't understand it, but they just believed and they were following. Now let's see this Christ, you know, that is the hope of our glory. The Lord Jesus Christ also said it in another way. In the Gospel of John chapter 17, verse 22, this is when Christ was about to go to the cross and he was saying this prayer. And in this prayer, a lot was revealed. So let's point to that chapter 17 of Gospel of John, verse 22. This is Lord Jesus Christ talking. And he said, and the glory, remember we said the glory of God that human beings have fallen short of, now Christ has brought it back. Christ is entering that glory. And he's saying, he has entered that glory, but he's saying, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Who are them? The body of Christ, the believers, the disciples that follow him. And not just these 12 apostles, he's talking about the people that will believe in him. And this is what you see when you read the whole of chapter 17. He said, I'm not just praying for this alone, he said, I'm praying for as many of them that will believe in me through them, through their words. So the glory that he said, the glory that the Father gave to me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. Now verse 23 is where I'm going. He said, I in them and thou in me. So listen to that. This glory that he said the Father gave to him, that he said he's giving it to his disciples, which is the body of Christ, which is not just for him alone. He said, I'm giving it to them, that is to the church, to the body of Christ, to the believers. And he said that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and thou in me. That they may be made perfect in one. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So what is this glory? It is the glorification that Christ has. Now, when Christ manifested after he has resurrected and went up to heaven, he always appeared in a light. That is the glory. Remember, Moses went to the Mount Sinai in the presence of God. When he came down, the Bible said his face was radiating light, like a cosmic figure, like lightning coming out of his face. And the people couldn't stand before him. They have to run away and he has to cover his face with veil. Now, that is the glory we are talking about. Now, that was just a temporary on Moses because it was temporary. Apostle Paul mentioned it. That was a glory that is passing away because it finally faded away upon Moses. He said, but when it comes to Christ, this glory is permanent. And this is the glory. God said, human beings fell short of that glory of God. And below and beyond, we believe that was the type of glory that was upon Adam, the first man, until they sinned. Because it's a living substance, it's like you quench light. Let me give you an analogy. You are in this our generation, so you know what is electric bulb. Look at those electric bulb, incandescent bulb that you have in your, that is giving you light in your, in the electricity in your house. Now that light bulb, when it's not, when there's no, when it's not turned on, it looks like it's naked. You can touch it. It does not burn your hand. It's cold. No, so inside that light bulb is something we call filament. But when you turn the switch on, that filament glows, and it glows so hot that the light bulb says it's hot. And if any insect wants to come upon that light bulb, it will get burned, and the insect will have to fly off. Now, that is how our body is expected to be. Our bones is almost like that filament, and the spirit in us, the spirit of God, that the spirit that He puts in us, is a man, is a spirit living having a soul living in a physical body. Now, our spirit is that filament, and when the light is turned on, our spirit should glow, so that a light covering should cover our physical body. A light covering, like electric bulb, should cover our physical body. That is the glory God was talking about. But when Adam sinned, the light was quenched. So then their physical body became naked, almost like when you put off the light from electric bulb. When you turn off the electricity from an electric bulb, then it cools down, and then you can touch it. You can use your hand to crush it. That was what happened to mankind. When Adam and Eve sinned, the light was quenched. And so they became naked. See, because I was naked. That was what Adam said, because we were naked. So they became naked, just like that electric bulb. And it took them almost now a year before their body was disintegrated, but at least they were naked. So the insect can then come upon them from the outside. They were beginning to feel the pains of somebody pinching them, or insect biting them, or something lying upon their skin, because they were naked. Now they are trying to cover themselves with fig leaves. That is not the glory. That won't do it. But that glory, God is saying, man has fallen short of the glory of God, which is the light Shekinah glory that He was covering man. We believe Adam was covered like that before it was quenched. All those fallen angels, their light also will be quenched. The Bible said the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. In the book of Proverbs, the lamp, which means we are like lamp. Not just we are lamps. Our spirit is like an incandescent bulb inside this body. He said, the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. It's not just talking figuratively. We are actually, the demon, the evil spirit, their lamp was already put out. And that is why they were in darkness. That's why the Bible called them darkness. And that's why they were always bringing diseases and sicknesses, because they were darkness. But the light of God is light and is life. And that is the one that keeps us healthy and keeps us alive, because it will burn off anything that could come upon our body to hurt. It will burn off anything that is trying to come upon our body to hurt us. That glory of God is what Adam lost, and that is what Christ is bringing back. And He's promising us in that John chapter 17, verse 22 and 23, He said, the glory that you give to me, I have given it to them, that they may be one, I in them, and thou in me. So that is how we are going to get the glory back, Christ being inside us. He said, thou in me, that is the Father God inside that Christ body, and Christ being inside us. So we are like there's a vacuum that was created in man that only God can fill that vacuum. We always say that when we are talking about salvation, being born again. But that is a space that our spirit occupies, and inside our spirit, Christ can enter and live inside our spirit. That's the Holy Ghost living inside our spirit. And He said, thou in me, that is the Father God inside the Christ, the head, and Christ living inside us. Okay, that makes us to have that glory, because when the Father God glows, it will glow through Christ in us, and Christ in us through our spirit will glow. And that glory will our body be covered with light. That is how Christ manifests right now to anybody. Manifests in a light, in a flashing light. That will be like a lamp. And that was how He appeared to Apostle Paul. Remember, let me read to you what Apostle Paul said he saw when he was on the road to Damascus. It is that glory of God now that Christ is now wearing around, and He can appear anytime He wants to. And that is the glory we are going into when we are fully redeemed, come back to the fullness of the stature of Christ. When we come back to the fullness of the stature of Christ, let's read what Apostle Paul said when he was giving his own testimony, how the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him. He reported it in several occasions. It was reported first about how he was converted when he was going on the road to Damascus. Then when he came to before the Jews in Jerusalem, he told his own story that he saw a light brighter than the sun shining around about them, and he fell down, and the Lord spoke to him from there and he said, "Oh, thou Lord," I am Jesus. You see that in chapter 22 of Acts of the Apostles, verse 6. Apostle Paul giving his own testimony how he was persecuting the Christians and he was going to Damascus. And verse 6 says, "And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me." You see, that is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ manifesting with that glory. Be like a great ball of light. "And I fell onto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecuted." So you can see the Lord Jesus Christ is back into that light. And he was telling us how it is. He said, "Thou Father in me and I," he said, "I in them, thou in me." It's how we human beings are going to get that glory back. And let's see again where Apostle John wrote again in 1 John chapter 5. You see, we are talking about this eternal life. We already have it when you have Christ, but this is how we are going to get that glory back. This is how Christ is going to restore that glory back to us, by living inside us permanently. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ was describing to the Jews, because he knew whom he is. Even when he was before them, or not before them, they couldn't accept him to be the Messiah. But you know who he is. 1 John chapter 5. Here is Apostle John writing the same thing. And he said in verse 10. Let me start from verse 9. Apostle John in his epistle, first epistle of John chapter 5. He said, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." Now, this is the record. Verse 11. "And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son." So that was how God proposed to do it. God wants to restore eternal life back to us. God wants to bring that glory back to us, that man falls short. He said, "Oh, I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." But now he sent the Messiah to redeem mankind. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, from according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Now, God is saying, "This is how I'm restoring it to you guys. God has given to us eternal life." Eternal life is the life of God. That is this Shekinah glory. We are going to go back to that glory and live forever. That glory that Adam lost, that light that was covering him, it will be restored to us and live forever when we are in Christ Jesus. But this is how he's going to do it. He said, "God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son," in the Lord Jesus Christ. "He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son has not life." So you want that glory, you have to have Jesus Christ inside you. You want to go back to that Shekinah glory that Adam lost and receive it from God like we all wanted, you have to come and let Jesus Christ be living inside you. He said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Without the Lord Jesus Christ in us, we are nothing. And so this is how God is restoring to us to that eternal life. That is how God planned to restore it, and this is what he's implementing, that he has given to us eternal life, and this life he put it in his Son Jesus Christ. So all we have to do is to get Jesus into us, then we have that life. And you can see why the Lord Jesus Christ also said it again and again and again in the Gospel of John, chapter 6. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, in several Bible verses there, the Lord Jesus Christ repeated that we have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. You say, well, what does that mean? Eat his flesh, drink his blood. That is, he has to be living inside us. I just started from the back and telling you what is coming in the beginning, in the front of the book. I started by telling you that God is giving to us eternal life, but he puts his life in his son, that now you just get my son into you and you have that eternal life. And that is what Jesus Christ was describing when he was upon earth and teaching in Galilee, telling them about how they must eat his flesh and drink his blood. Gospel of John chapter 6. Let me read to you verse 39. And he said it in many, many places. From verse 38, Jesus Christ was talking. He said, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. After the first time, Lord said, he has to raise people that believe in him up again at the last day. And that last day is what we are talking about. It's coming soon. And in verse 40, he went further and repeated, he said, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth his son, that is the son of God, and believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's the second time he said, I will raise him up at the last day. So that is why I'm saying that the way God has given to human beings eternal life is that he put this eternal life in his son, Jesus Christ. And say, and call every human being, say, just take Jesus Christ inside you, and then you have that eternal life. No matter how dead you are in your sin, no matter how red your sin is, say, just come repentantly and accept Jesus. Let Jesus Christ come and be living inside you, then you have eternal life. You'll be restored back to that glory that Adam lost in the first place. And he's going to restore us in the final end back to the glory, the light that Adam lost. He's going to switch it on again in our spirit. That is what he's preparing us for. Now, you may say he has not switched on yet because he's still working on us. He's still working on us from glory unto glory. The Bible says he's changing us. But in the final analysis, he's going to turn on the switch. All them that are redeemed, and we shall be living on this planet out in a glorified body where we are covered with the light Shekinah, like our Lord Jesus Christ asked right now. That when he appeared like a ball of light that can suddenly come down and be a physical human being. And they can go back into that ball of light. That is, can appear and disappear. And even scientists have been pointing this out to us. I was in the physics in the university. I was studying physics. And one of our physics professors actually brought this one out. He said, for somebody to go from invisible to visible, you have to be able to change from particle, our body is particle, to wave, electromagnetic wave. He said, well, we don't have that power. Yes, human beings don't have that physical know-how, because the destructive, changing from particle to wave is what we know how to do in the lab. Because if you try to change something from particle to wave, you just burn it up and it disintegrated. But the power of God is what we are talking about, that can change us from particle to wave, electromagnetic wave, like a light. That's a wave. And then come back itself back into particle. That is the Holy Ghost power that human beings can never get to through the test tube, through the laboratory experiment. We cannot get to that. But God is telling us that that is what he's going to do for us, because he's already, that is what we are. We are spirit. And spirit is like a electromagnetic wave that is giving this body energy, giving our body energy. And because we are part of God, he put this spirit inside us when he put into Adam a breath of life, a part of himself. That's our spirit that is inside us. But he has put up the light so that we cannot glow, we cannot go back to that glory until we are redeemed through Christ. And he's saying this is how he's bringing for that redemption. God has given unto us eternal life, but this life he put it in his son this time. So that Christ said, thou Father in me and I in them. That's how we're going to get that glory back. And that is why he's saying he's bringing in everlasting righteousness. If you have been listening to my sermon, I pointed it out in the book of Daniel chapter 9 verse 24, what the angel prophesied, that this is what is going to happen. That in that 70th week, God will bring in everlasting righteousness. What does that mean, everlasting righteousness? That is, these people that God is going to redeem, they will never be able to sin anymore forever. Everlasting righteousness. Well, how will that happen? Because Satan, remember Satan, that was expected to be a cherub that God created, he fell from glory. God has to kick him out, which means he fell into offense, into sin. But God is saying that these people that he's creating is going to make everlasting righteousness in us. And that is the way he's going to do it. He said, Christ has to be living inside us so that we are controlled from inside. Not so. But he said, Christ said, Thou Father in me and I in them. That is how we are going to get that everlasting righteousness, because I and my Father are one. Nothing can change that. There could be no rebellion between Father and Son. Now that we have been rebellion between us and Christ, when Christ is the one directing us from inside, you see, that's why it's going to be everlasting righteousness. But for you to partake of that, you've got to come in by faith, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. As I'm preaching this to you, ask Him to come and live inside you. Accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Accept Him as the Savior. Accept that He died on the cross for you. And when you believe that, and you accept that, and you call upon Him, and you confess it with your mouth, He said He will come and live inside you. That is how He said, I in them, Thou Father in me. That's how we are going to get that glory back, the glory that Adam lost in the beginning, which is the glory I just described to you, the light covering that is covering our Lord Jesus Christ right now, is that glory. It is from within. It's not just a covering. It is the incandescent light that you turn on the switch, it glows. When God turns on the switch in us, our spirit will glow and there will be a light that will cover our whole body. Just like when you turn on the switch in an electric bulb, it glows and no insect can come upon that electric bulb because it's red hot and it can burn that insect. And nothing will be able to hurt us. That's why there will be no more death, no more sicknesses, no more diseases, no more pain. When God is through with us, when it's completed, this process, everlasting righteousness. Let me go again and point to you what the Bible said in Gospel of John chapter 6 again. Let's read verse 56 and 57. The Lord Jesus Christ was talking about how we are going to get that glory. He said, He that eateth my flesh, verse 56, and drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now you can see, that is how we are going to get that everlasting righteousness, by Christ dwelling in us. And he typified it like eating. He said, you have to eat my flesh. That's what he said, that he that eateth my flesh, and drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him. Verse 57 is the key. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Now, why did he keep saying he's eating him? Because we are possessed by something coming into through our mouth. That's how the Holy Ghost comes into us, through our mouth. We actually come into our own body through our own mouth. That is, our spirit enter our physical body through our mouth. So it's like eating. So that is what the Lord is talking about. He said that you have to eat him so that he will be living inside us. So when our spirit enter our flesh, it enters through our mouth and then come and control our blood. Now the Lord Jesus Christ said the same thing, that we have to eat him. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have life in you. I want to pray for you right now that is listening, so that you can believe and understand and begin to claim your liberty from sickness and disease. Even say, why? You say, until that glory comes, that's when sickness and disease will not hurt us anymore. But you can begin to exercise authority right now over all those insects that are trying to torture the body, because we have authority over them. So Christ has said, I give unto you power, authority, to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall have enemies hurt you. So even right now, we are using the power of the world to come. And that is the power that he wants you to understand and begin to exercise, and you subdue all these elements. Because he said, even the last enemy shall be subdued under the body of Christ, which is death itself, which shall be subdued. Let me pray for you. For I pray for all the people that are listening right now, that you will touch them, give them understanding, help them to believe, to begin to exercise their faith. And if anyone is sick and afflicted, I command healing. Because Christ has already healed your body. By his stripes you were healed. So you sickness and disease, leave the people. I command in the name of Jesus, you sickness, you disease, leave the people that are listening to this exhortation and that are believing in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. That is it. Write to us and we shall send you some exhortation. GospelDistribution.org. GospelDistribution.org on the website. God bless you.